Okay. So let's come back to the body. So become fully aware of the body. And try to relax the body. When you sing into the body, start to relax the mind also. The mind will relax. We sink into non-duality. Give so much space in the mind. And at the same time, try to bring more focus. With your heart, do you feel connected? Try to feel this connection, which is so essential for our practice. We start to recognize that there's someone else who simply wants to be happy. When you start to recognize, then spontaneously love and compassion can arise. And from beginless time, I've been wandering around. I've been in all cycles of existence, going up and down, into the lower realms, into the higher realms. And not only myself, but all living beings. And over this time, right now, the conditions come together as a human having met the Dharma to make a change. And not just to make a change for myself, but for all living beings, and especially those who have a karmical connection with. When I develop my mind at the highest level, by becoming myself like a Buddha, I can benefit so many living beings, just like the previous Buddha, the previous Buddhas. So may this session become very beneficial for the happiness of all living beings. So let the mind sink into non-duality. Beyond the dualistic mind. Beyond good, beyond bad. beyond maybe this, maybe that, or something else, beyond the critical mind. And then try to focus a little bit more on the mind and seeing it a non-duality. And remember, we are born within the space of non-duality. We live our life within the space of non-duality, and finally pass away, all within the space of non-duality. But see how we live our life with a dualistic mind. It has nothing to do with reality. See that the body is very relaxed to sink more deeper, more subtle. When you get a feeling for non-duality, yeah, on a spiritual level, yeah, then you can bring even your obstacles, your difficulties into this space. Maybe there's a disturbing thought or pain in the body. So bring it into the vision of non-duality, beyond the dualistic mind. And then we go to our actual meditation. Yeah. Kindness of harmers. Friend or enemy. Who is the real enemy? And who is the real friend? Maybe just bring someone up, the one you call a friend. And imagine the person in front of you. Without words, just the feeling from your heart to your friend's heart. How does the energy feel? Don't think too much, just feel. Is there some attachment? Or do you feel some aversion? Indifference. So probably feel something related to attachment. But also it can be fear. Yeah. Like when attachment doesn't get what it wants, yeah. Fear can arise, aversion. It can be anything. And on the right side of your friends, when you place an enemy, someone you have some difficulties with, if you cannot find someone, then maybe someone who did something bad in the world, someone you feel some aversion for. And also try to feel from your heart to the enemy's heart. And just the energy. Don't analyze too much. Just feel. How does the energy feel right now? Do you feel some aversion? Some dislike? So how does this friend and enemy appear? Like something solid, permanent, by existing from his own side? Just check. We already did a meditation on this. And we discovered that when we really look for solid, like permanent, self-existent friend and enemy, we cannot find it. But where is the friend and the enemy? Can you remember the self-cherishing minds who produces the enemy and the friends? The one who's pleasing the self-cherishing minds, and we label friends. The one who's disturbing the self-cherishing mind, we label enemy. So who is the real enemy and the real friends? And the text is mentioning, yeah, whatever harms exist in the world, whatever danger and sufferings are in the world, all of these arise from cherishing oneself, yeah, the self-cherishing mind. What use is this great demon for us? So who is the real friend? The real enemy? Nothing other than the self-cherishing minds, who produces the enemies in the outside world. Who makes the enemies. Can you remember the self-cherishing? And we were meditating yesterday on this. How we followed like our best friends. And not recognizing that we follow like a dream, an illusion, built up in the mind. Can you recognize this? And that we do everything from morning till evening, trying to satisfy the self-cherishing minds. But I never got satisfied in the past. It's not satisfied right now. You can understand that it never will be satisfied. Is in the nature of dissatisfaction. Okay, the mind of attachments. Try to refresh this. Try to recognize this. But it doesn't matter what the self-cherishing mind gets. It always wants to have better. It wants to have more. Never satisfy. Always distort. There's something missing here. Do you recognize? Are you also recognizing that as a troublemaker, which we can find behind our fights, difficulties with others, and even behind the wars in the world? My happiness, it doesn't care about the other's happiness. Isn't it like this? And then we wonder why we cannot feel love, compassion. With a self-cherishing mind filling up your heart, there's no space for love and compassion to arise. My happiness is not concerned about the other's happiness. Is that maybe the reason why we're not yet enlightened? So with the friend in front of you and the enemy, who is the real enemy? And then the next verse in the text, where the text is mentioning, all through countless eons have passed with such great hardships, you have only going into the direction of suffering. Because of this mind, the self-cherishing mind. That is the one, the real enemy to overcome. It is the friend in front of you who is feeding my self-cherishing. And it's the outer enemy who is going against my self-cherishing, against the demon. So out there, the friend and the enemy. So who is the real enemy and who is the real friend there in front of you? The outer enemy is most kind indeed, who is going against my self-cherishing thoughts. So one thing in the text that mentioned about practicing patience. So by practicing patience with the outer enemy, it becomes a method against my self-cherishing mind. But not only this, if you stop looking through the eyes of the self-cherishing and start to connect with your heart, then suddenly discover that in front of you that two people, they simply want to be happy, just like myself. Try to feel this. But there's no difference between the friend and the enemy. Having the same problems, same difficulties, just like ourselves. Try to feel this, to recognize this. And just as I struggle with my disturbing emotions, like attachments, hatred and ignorance, so does the one I label an enemy and the one I label friends. So now, imagine that you three Open your heart and mind with love and understanding for each other. By understanding reality. Try to feel this for each other. With love and understanding. And then the wish can arise. May you be happy. Just as I wish for happiness. And may you be free from suffering. Just as I wish to be free from suffering. So meeting with love and understanding for each other. Let melt this into light. See that the body is relaxed, and in this wish, may you be happy, be truly well and happy. And take the time to stretch the legs, to move the body. So the second part of the meditation is called Qualities of Suffering. So sink back into the moment right now, into a very relaxed body. And then we start looking back into the past, into our life. And imagine that you travel back like a witness. As if you're a little bit above your life and you can see yourself. And then try to attend to the moments when you were suffering with the body or the mind. and seeing yourself suffering, try to generate a wish. May you be free from suffering. Compassion for yourself. So as a witness, a little bit above the show. You just watch yourself. Towards the moments when you felt depressed, when you lost someone, when you were lonely, when you were confused, or when you were sick. So the memory comes up, and stay a moment with this memory and to generate compassion for yourself. May you be free from suffering. So you watch, you see yourself, like more from above. Try to open your heart for yourself, for the difficulties you have been experiencing in your life. And try to travel more back on the time, to the time when you were in school. Stay some time where you recognize some difficulty you are experiencing with the body or with the mind or with others. May you be free from this suffering. When you were a little boy or a little girl, can you remember? We had a difficult time. Try to make the memory very vivid. Just see yourself there, this little child. May you be free from the suffering. Having experienced this suffering, can you see that there's also a positive side of having experienced these kinds of sufferings? But first of all, because of the sufferings, it brought us here to Tishita. You also can see by having experienced these sufferings, it made us humble. Maybe we'd be very arrogant right now, but you didn't experience these sufferings in the past. And because of this suffering we experienced in the past, we can have compassion for someone who's going through the same suffering we have been experiencing. We can connect, we can understand the person because we experience it ourselves. It also can awaken renunciation. To renounce the world and to go inwards. Instead of taking refuge in the outside world, into temporary happiness, we start to take refuge in lasting happiness, in the teachings from the Buddha, in order to find some happiness, some satisfaction. You would not have experienced these sufferings in your life. Would you have found the path? A spiritual path? Was there any need for a path? Because of the suffering in the past, right now we're taking the essence. We make life very meaningful. Much more meaningful than we would have been born in the God realms. They even don't think about practicing Dharma. Why? But also their time will finish. Just like our time will finish. And then it depends on the good deeds. You can say on the karma that will throw us into the next life. So recognize the qualities of suffering. So a little bit like in conclusion, because of suffering, I found a part, a spiritual part. And now I can bring an end to going into the direction of suffering. Suffering is most kind indeed. And also in the text is mentioned that it exhausts your karma. By experiencing it. Exhausting our karma. So maybe bring the suffering to our parts by remembering the qualities. To take it as the part. And the part not only for my own happiness, but for the happiness of all living beings. So that's why our pure motivation at the beginning is so important. Because it decides where it goes. And all the dedication is kind of like giving direction. And definitely it's going to give fruit. brings together the good conditions. So best to dedicate the positive merit, the positive energy, is a strong wish to become yourself like a Buddha for the benefit of all living beings. And the good conditions will arise. Comes even a cause to get reborn in the pure lands. So try to feel this for the benefit of all living beings. May I myself become a Buddha. So all the great masters reach enlightenment, especially because of the pure motivation and the strong dedication. So we know in their footsteps, so make use of their advice and the advice of the Buddha. So take your time to finish the session here. So tomorrow morning you get teachings on this from Glenn. It's called Kindness of Harmers and Qualities of Suffering. Yeah.